All right, welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News from Monday, June 9th, 2025. I'm Mike Adams. There will be no interview today because of the emergency state of affairs involving the escalating insurrection in California. So, of course, it's gotten a lot worse over the last 24 hours. I did post an update yesterday. So if you want to check that out, it covers the events, mostly the events of Saturday, and that was recorded about midnight Saturday night. And now I'm covering the events of Sunday. And of course, major, major things happening and Trump making a big announcement. He tweeted out on Truth Social, quote, "A once great American city, Los Angeles, has been invaded and occupied by illegal aliens and criminals," he says. Yeah, he's not wrong. He continues, "Now violent insurrectionist mobs are swarming and attacking our federal agents to try to stop our deportation operations. But these lawless riots only strengthen our resolve. I'm directing Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, and Attorney General Pam Bondi, in coordination with all other relevant departments and agencies, listen up here, to take all such action necessary to," and this is a direct quote, all this is, "to liberate Los Angeles from the migrant invasion and put an end to these migrant riots. Order will be restored, the illegals will be expelled, and Los Angeles will be set free. Thank you for your attention to this matter." So here's Trump now for the first time using the term insurrectionist to describe these mobs in California. Is that sort of pointing towards him invoking the Insurrection Act? Possibly, but we don't know for sure. But also, he is saying we have to liberate Los Angeles. And that is true. Actually, look, in my opinion, the entire state of California is under the authoritarian, tyrannical rule of a criminal cabal, a Democrat network of outright criminals who rig elections, they accept bribes, all kinds of political favoritism, they've left the border wide open on purpose, they have, they're complicit in the invasion of the United States, and they've also managed to steal House seats and Electoral College votes by allowing these millions of illegals to come into the United States. And as I tweeted out earlier today, I said, remember that states' Electoral College votes are largely determined by population via the U.S. Census survey, which counts illegals. So in case you didn't know that, you know, the census all across the country, it counts everybody, including illegals. Thus, I said, the very presence of an estimated 4+ million illegals in California gives the state far more Electoral College votes than it deserves. This is yet another way Democrats rig elections and cheat the American voters by trafficking millions of illegals across the border and making sure they are counted in the census. These same numbers also determine how many House seats are apportioned to each state. So the presence of illegals also steals House seats away from rural states. There will never be an honest election in America again unless millions of illegals are deported, giving voting power back to the American people where it belongs. And then I saw another person tweet out something that I'm going to borrow. I don't recall who tweeted this, but they said, quote, "The census is the battlefield." And of course, I've arrived at the same conclusion. The census is the battlefield. And the reason Democrats are going so crazy in California and defending all these illegals is because they just need the bodies there for the census. That's the only reason. They need the bodies there for the census so they can have the House seats and they can have the Electoral College numbers, you know, the votes for their state. So it's all, of course, a massive scam. And the Democrats don't care about these people other than the fact that they can get something by exploiting them. They can gain power. That's what this has always been about. That's why under Joe Biden, an estimated 10 million illegals were allowed to flood into the United States, sometimes as many as 10,000 a day. It's just out of control, right? And it went on for years, and it was all funded. It was organized by the State Department, by Alejandro Mayorkas. It was funded by the government. You know, USAID was part of it, and all these NGOs that were running the immigration invasion. Well, that invasion succeeded. They got millions of illegals into the United States. So now, because we have to be a nation of law, or we aren't a nation at all, now we have to reverse that invasion and deport these millions of people who came in. That's what has to happen now, and that's what's beginning to happen. And what we're seeing in LA is just the beginning of that, and it's going to accelerate dramatically. Now, either Trump and his team go all the way and achieve the deportations of millions of people and the mass arrests of traitors, and they hold the line and they do what they say they're going to do, and they don't allow themselves to get intimidated by media narratives, which we'll talk about here in a second. So if Trump's team does what they need to do, then we could actually get our census back, get our Electoral College back, get our House seats back, and we would be on the path to getting our nation back. But what the left is going to do, of course, is play the victim here. And understand that leftists, they literally believe that they have the right to be here in America, and that they have the right to vote, and they have the right, they think, even though they are illegals who broke the law to come across the border, they think they have a right to be here. And you hear this from all the city council people, the mayor of LA, the governor of California, the police chief, all the other officials. They are supporting the illegals. And they refer to them as, what do they call them? Los Angeles, or what do they call them? I forgot the term they use. But they refer to them essentially as citizens when they are not citizens. Or maybe they call them residents sometimes. Yeah, well, you could say they are residents, but they are illegal residents. They're living there illegally. So they are illegal aliens, which means their residency is not legally established because they never went through the process of immigration. So what the left wants to do is to, of course, bait Trump into a very powerful action that the left-wing media can paint as cruel and unusual and you know, mean, and they want to show all these sob stories of illegals. But they will never show you how much damage the illegals are doing, the robberies, the carjackings, the rapes, the theft, and the theft of our elections, as I was just talking about. So this is why the left-wing leaders of California are, in fact, organizing and encouraging these mass uprisings in order to try to provoke Trump into an overreaction. Now, with that said, and yes, we're going to talk about the theater aspect of all of this, and we'll also play some of the newer videos for you here. There's videos that emerged yesterday of these leftists waving the Mexican flag, you know, and essentially claiming territory, standing on top of burning cars, riding on a motorcycle, waving the Mexican flag. The Mexican flag is the symbol of this radical left-wing movement now, which tells you that they are not Americans and they do not love America. They believe they have conquered. At least they've conquered LA. And it's clear they plan to secede from the United States of America and claim the land, claim like the southern half of California as Mexican territory. That's what they're trying to do. Now, in response to this, as Trump ordered his top agencies to carry out all actions that are necessary to liberate Los Angeles, well, Pete Hegseth of the Department of Defense said, we're going to send 500 U.S. Marines to L.A. So, of course, when I hear that, you know, my eyes get really wide. And I'm going to be interviewing Michael Yon about this coming up later today. So it'll be interesting to ask what he thinks about this. But, you know, when you start deploying the military domestically to engage in domestic police operations, I mean, I'll give you both sides of this. But it's very worrisome from a civil rights point of view when the military engages in domestic police operations, right? And that's why we are supposed to have posse comitatus. But then the other side of this argument is that this is not police action, but this is an invasion. Thus, it is a military invasion. It is an act of war against the United States. And if it is categorized as that, then clearly the U.S. military has the right to defend the nation even within the nation's borders, if the invaders have invaded, which in this case they have. So it all comes down to how this is really designated by the commander-in-chief, which is Trump. So if Trump refers to this as simply a domestic operation, such as riots or protesters, or perhaps even, insurrection seems kind of in the middle, but if he refers to it in those terms, then he is saying that this is a domestic operation and he will be limiting himself legally to domestic police forces, which would include the National Guard. Well, I guess domestic military force, National Guard. And he has activated the California Guard, bypassing the governor of California, Newsom. And that action has not happened since 1965, it turns out. So this is why Newsom is losing his mind and freaking out and saying that, you know, Trump is wrong to activate the National Guard. But it seems to me that Trump's plan is to declare this to be an act of war. And I'm not sure what terminology that he will use, but he's already using the term insurrectionist. I believe, well, and he's already used the term invasion, you know, numerous times in many different contexts, even in the tweet today, that the city of Los Angeles has been invaded and occupied by illegal aliens and criminals. So he is saying that this is an invasion, this is an insurrection. I believe that Trump is about to deploy the Insurrection Act, and he is about to declare whatever necessary emergencies would be needed in order to have the legal justification to deploy the military that is active duty, United States Marines, maybe Army, maybe more, to deploy them all domestically in order to beat back the invaders. And the more this escalates, because the radical left is, of course, feeding the flames on this, then the bigger the military presence Trump is going to have to deploy in order to deal with this. And of course, you and I probably can only hope that the presence of the military there would result in mass arrests of the actual treasonous traitors, you know, like Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass and all the corrupt judges and the corrupt police chiefs and, you know, the corrupt city council people, the traitors in California who run that state government. Almost every one of them are criminals. And we need mass arrests. We need arrests of thousands of these criminals in California. We have to tear down that entire rigged, corrupt cabal system that cheats in every election and that has engaged in massive human trafficking, weapons trafficking, and drug trafficking across the California border. They've allowed it, they've encouraged it, and they've collected payoffs from it. So that whole system needs to be torn down. Maybe this is an opportunity to do that and then hold new elections so that the people of California could actually elect someone honestly instead of ending up with, you know, the rigged elections and Newsom. But let's step back for a second and ask a bigger question, kind of a meta question. Is this whole thing staged? Now, a lot of people are suspecting this because some of it looks very theatrical. Some of it looks very much organized with crisis actors. It doesn't really look as spontaneous as we might expect. And some of the scenes, like the guy standing on top of the burning car, waving a Mexican flag, you know, shirtless with a mask or a helmet. Some of these iconic scenes, they just look too good to be true in a sense. Too dramatic. So a lot of people are asking the question, hey, is this being staged? Okay, well, let's ask that question. If you believe that this is engineered, that you're watching a movie, then the question becomes, well, then who is running the theater or who staged it And what is their goal in staging this? So let's answer this question from the left wing side and the right wing side, both. Try to get a view, and maybe both sides have advantages. Maybe they're both running playbooks in various ways. So what would the Trump administration, how would it benefit from staging this? If that, I mean, this is a thought experiment here. I'm not accusing the Trump administration of staging it, but let's just go down that rabbit hole. Suppose that the Trump administration was staging this. What would be the benefit? So I've already kind of mentioned one. It would allow the military to go in and declare effectively a kind of martial law in LA and possibly arrest a bunch of seditious traitors and insurrectionists and, you know, the criminal cabal running California. And maybe they could throw a bunch of those people in prison or prosecute them and maybe hold new elections and then restore California to the people. Okay, that's one possibility. There's another possibility, kind of a more black-pilled possibility that I've seen people talk about on X, and that is they think that the Trump administration needs to roll out the Palantir surveillance grid over all Americans and that they need some kind of big uprising like this in order to justify the new Palantir surveillance system to say, oh, well, we need to be able to surveil Americans in order to go after these domestic insurrectionists. So maybe it's an excuse to roll out this grand police state to enslave everybody, which kind of harkens back to 9/11 in 2001 and how that attack was, of course, allowed to take place. There's no question it was an inside job. I mean, Building 7 for sure was rigged with explosives. Come on. And maybe the Twin Towers were as well. And then they covered up all the evidence. I mean, you know, that was a giant con job. But it had a purpose. And the purpose was to push an expansion of the Patriot Act. And also specifically Israel was involved. And they wanted America to wage war on Israel's enemies in the Middle East. Something that Israel has continued to demand ever since. You know, to this day, hey, Trump, bomb Iran. So that hasn't stopped at all. And then following 9/11, the U.S. did attack like 5 out of 7 countries on its list, including Libya and Syria, which was toppled relatively recently, and, you know, even Afghanistan, etc. So that's a theory that a lot of people believe. They think that this is all designed to roll out the Palantir surveillance state. So those are sort of the right-wing theories of what might be going on. What about the left-wing theories? Well, Harrison Smith from InfoWars actually posted a pretty good summary of it, so I'll read his. He said, the playbook is to, 1, cause an insurrection and foment violent protests. 2, force Trump to crack down and send in the National Guard. 3, call Trump a dictator who is using force on his own people. And then 4, move to impeach Trump or to handicap Trump, and to give rhinos the excuse of, quote, this is not who we are. So yes, I agree with Harrison Smith's interpretation here. The left wants to bait Trump into a massive overreaction. But so far, the videos I've seen of all the National Guard troops, they're just shooting paintballs. They're not shooting, you know, live ammo. They're just shooting paintballs. I mean, I can actually hear the paintball guns running out of air pressure. There's a specific stuttering sound they make when that happens. And, you know, I've played paintball before. I know what these sound like, what they look like. These are all paintball guns. And yeah, they hurt when you get hit with a paintball moving at whatever, 2,000 feet per second or whatever they're at. I mean, I'm sure they crank these things up to the maximum velocity, right? So yeah, they can really hurt, especially if you get shot in the neck or the face. Not good things. That's why when you play paintball, you wear a neck guard. I don't know if you know that. You don't want to get shot in the Adam's apple if you're a guy. That's for sure. You also wear a cup. You don't want to get shot in the balls. It'll only take you one time experiencing that, and you will wear a cup. So, you know, when I used to play paintball, we had to gear up with far more stuff than I had to put on when I went out and shot real guns. Because, of course, when you're shooting real guns, you're not shooting them at each other. You're shooting typically paper targets or sometimes steel targets. But paintball, you're shooting each other. So you got to gear up with all this stuff, all kinds of stuff. Well, the result of all this, the fact that the National Guard troops have so far only been armed with paintball guns, means that there hasn't been an escalatory shooting. Not yet. Not that I'm aware of. But that's what the left wants. They are trying to bait some National Guard troops and then maybe U.S. Marines. They're trying to bait them into shooting somebody on the left. And then that's going to be the big news. Oh, there's been a shooting, and then there'll be national demands for Trump to back down and apologize, and even Trump should resign because this you know, illegal was killed. And then you're going to have the corporate media roll out all these stories about how this illegal was basically Jesus and was a saint on earth and was nothing but an amazing person. You know, that's the way this works. So they're looking for somebody to get shot. So, of course, looking at this from both sides, what's at stake here is really who controls the future of this republic. This is an existential question that has bubbled to the surface right now. If the illegals stay in America, then the Democrats will control the midterms and the next election, and they will dominate this country forevermore. If the illegals are removed and the traitors are arrested, then this country will be given back to its people, who will have an opportunity to vote and to actually have their votes count at the next several elections. Of course, we have to have election integrity too. We got to get rid of the electronic voting machines. I don't see a big effort making that happen. I really don't see any effort to make the midterms honest at all. And we know California always rigs everything. So this right now, this is the opportunity for Trump to clean house in California. Will he take it? Or will he be intimidated by the media and by all the victimization? And I've even noticed my feed on X is filled with all these left-wing accounts now talking about all these sob stories. Oh my God, it's so horrible that this person was arrested. And look, my take is, I love humanity. I have compassion for all people. And we have the right to secure our border. We, as a nation, we have the right to determine who comes into our nation. And there is a system for that. It's called the immigration system. You can apply for immigration, go through the process. It takes many years. You know, with my wife, I've been through the whole thing. And it is an arduous process, because my wife is an immigrant, of course. And we went through that. We followed the rules. And that's what I'm asking of everybody else. We welcome people of Hispanic ethnic origin into America. And I want to be clear about this. Don't misinterpret anything I'm saying here as some kind of an attack on people who are ethnically Hispanic. I have no such animosity toward people for merely being Hispanic. In fact, the Hispanic people make amazing Texans. They make amazing Americans. And where I live in Texas, you know, it wouldn't really be the same Texas without all the influence and all of the skills and the cuisine and the amazing beauty of Hispanic people or ethnic Hispanic people whose families have lived in Texas for generations, and they are Americans and they are Texans and they wear cowboy hats just the same as the rest of us. So I am not attacking people of Hispanic origin at all. In fact, for those who have illegal status, that is, they broke into the country, they trespassed, they came in, I don't care what nationality they are. I don't care if they're Egyptian or Mexican or Colombian or whatever, or South African for that matter. It doesn't matter to me what origin they have. What matters to me is they violated the law. Thus, they got to go. And this, I state this with compassion for humanity. We have to remember the rights of the American people to live free from the violence and threats and election theft of the illegals. You know, Democrats and the left wing, they always want to bring your attention. And what about these poor leftists that are being rounded up? What about the Americans that are victimized by these people every single day? Don't the American people have the right to determine the outcomes of their own elections without foreign interference from illegals who come in and then they imbalance the census, which alters the Electoral College and it alters congressional seats? And then in some jurisdictions, those illegals are even given the right to vote. That is an abuse of the American people. That's a violation of the civil rights of the American people. So if you respect civil rights, you have to deport these illegals because you have to respect the civil rights of the Americans. First, it has to be America first. This is our country. We have paid taxes all these years. We built this country, our families and our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and so on. We built this country. And yes, we welcome immigrants if they are qualified, if they don't have a criminal record, if they go through the process. We welcome immigrants. Yes, we are a nation that includes many legal immigrants, but we are also a nation of law, which means we have to deport those who violated the law and broke into this country and trespassed and have stolen our future from us. That's why deportation is absolutely necessary. And the illegals must be deported by the millions, even if we have compassion for fellow human beings and we have great respect for Hispanic culture, etc. We must deport illegals as a matter of basic law, even just basic rationality and common sense. And then if those people want to apply to come back into the country, fine, that's great. There's a process for that. And yes, that process needs to be reformed. It needs to be made more efficient. And it needs to be based on merit, I believe, more than it is now. So yes, we can work on that process. But in the meantime, the illegals have to go. So with that said, my personal opinion is that I support the Trump administration using every reasonable means, including force where necessary, but not punitive force, not out of control force, not just angry government tyranny, obviously, right? But reasonable force that is necessary to deport the illegals who have invaded our country. I absolutely support the legal justification for the deployment and use of reasonable levels of force. And yes, if U.S. soldiers or National Guard troops or law enforcement officers, if they are attacked with deadly weapons, then absolutely they have the right to defend themselves with deadly force. Although we hope and pray that that situation doesn't happen, we also know from wisdom and experience that that's exactly what the left wants. So as I said yesterday, this is going to become an issue of discipline. Can Trump exercise enough discipline that trickles down through the system, you know, through Hegseth at the DOD? Can he command discipline of the United States Marines that are deployed? Well, U.S. Marines are typically very disciplined people, so I don't have any concerns about United States Marines, by the way. And they also know how to handle themselves typically, and they know how to handle rifles and so on. U.S. Marines are, I think, among the better trained military units that we have. But what I'm concerned about is the National Guard units in California, because remember, those guardsmen and women are the local people. And many of them may sympathize with this radical left-wing insurrection against the United States. So my guess is that the California Guard cannot be trusted, not nearly in the same way that the United States Marines could be trusted, or even a guard unit from another state, for example, let's say a more conservative state like Utah or maybe even Arizona, even though Arizona is still under Democrat governor control, but that whole election was rigged too. Nevertheless, I think this is going to come down to an issue of discipline. And so far, I have to say, from the videos that I've seen, I have been really, really impressed with the discipline demonstrated by law enforcement guards, men and women, and also then from at least from what I've seen in the readiness of the military, although the military hasn't been deployed yet, but that's in process. So I've seen a lot of restraint. I've seen way more restraint than probably what I would exhibit, you know. But then again, that's why I don't go to riots. I don't go to kinetic events like that because, you know, I will defend myself. But I saw a lot of cases where these, federal officers or, ICE agents and guardsmen and women, where they were really not defending themselves. They were taking hits. They were taking poundings with rocks or bottles or sticks. And there's no question in my mind that some of these people have smashed up fingers. You know, I always think about finger injuries because in all the time that I did a lot of training with former Special Forces people, I mean, I always wore tactical gloves. I always wore mechanics gloves. I wore them out, but I would not begin a training session without those gloves for a number of reasons. Number one is, your hands, like when we have done like simunitions or even paintball type of thing, you get shot in your hands all the time. And when you're law enforcement and you're deploying or you've got a shield or you're trying to push people away, your hands are out there in front of you. So your hands are getting hit all the time. The other thing is that if it comes to using your rifle, as you will discover if you ever engage in intense rifle training, the forend of your rifle gets freaking hot as you're blowing through rounds and swapping magazines. So you can't hold that rifle with your bare hand unless you just love third-degree burns all over your hand. You have to have a glove because even though you're not touching the barrel, obviously, you're touching the handguard. That handguard gets cooking when you go through a lot of rounds. So I'm just shocked to see anybody out there from law enforcement that doesn't have tactical gloves on. Maybe they were ordered not to. I don't know, but I would wear gloves for sure. So the upshot is that this is going to accelerate, and it's being reported that Representative Maxine Waters has called for the U.S. to grant citizenship to every illegal alien that's protesting in Los Angeles. She says they should all become citizens. Well, of course the Democrats think that because, that's their cheating method, is just bring in all these illegals by the millions and then grant them citizenship, let them vote. And that's been their playbook for, frankly, about 20 years. I mean, Rush Limbaugh used to talk about this. And Obama was running this just at a smaller level. I mean, under Biden, this just went insane. This is why they had to rig the election and steal it from Trump in 2020, which they did. Because they needed to run 4 years of mass invasions, and the Democrats thought they would never lose an election again. They did, and they were very nearly right. And that's why they are going to fight Trump on this as if their very existence depended on it, because it does. If Trump is victorious, and if Homan is victorious, if America is victorious, if we are able to deport millions of these illegals, then we get our country back. And frankly, we need to achieve that in order to restart America and have a chance at a future. Now, California, at some point coming up soon, possibly, depending on where this goes, Newsom may actually declare that California is seceding from the union. He may declare that Trump has no jurisdiction over California, that California is leaving the country. Now, that would fulfill my 7-year prediction of the end of the United States as we know it by 2025, by the way. Not that I want to see that happen, but it would also set off an immediate kinetic war in California, not just a war between the federal government and the state of California, but rather, I'm talking about a grassroots pro-America faction that exists in California that are very strong very knowledgeable. Some of you are listening to this podcast, no doubt. People that live in Northern California, around the Mount Shasta area, people living close to the Oregon border, people living in more eastern, rural California, etc. And even there are plenty of patriots, pro-America patriots, that live in the suburbs and even live in the cities because of their jobs or their other obligations, etc. If Governor Newsom declares a secession, there will be an instant grassroots uprising. There will be a civil war within the state of California, not to mention then the feds coming in, not just the feds, I mean the military. You would see the Pentagon deploying, I don't know, tens of thousands of Marines and Army and who knows. A massive war effort would take place in California, and the Pentagon would be aided by, you know, the underground army of California patriots that also want to get their state back from the corrupt cabal that is Newsom and those three or four families that have been running California for decades. I mean, it's just a few families that have been in charge this whole time. Now, if you think that's an impossibility that Newsom would declare secession, he already said that California should stop paying income taxes, or that the people of California should stop paying income tax to the federal government. So that is sort of fiscal secession right there. So we're not that far from a declaration of a state-level secession attempt from the federal government. The other comment on that is that most of the geographic California as we know it today would secede from California seceding from the federal government. In other words, most of geographical California would want to stay with the United States. It would just be the secessionary advocates would be just those on the West Coast, in the cities like Sacramento and Los Angeles and San Diego, etc. It would be a very narrow strip along the West Coast. San Francisco, obviously the Bay Area, etc., would probably join in that. But most of California would resist that, and you would see domestic, local warfare, civil war breaking out in California. And, of course, none of us want to see that, so we hope that that doesn't happen. But we also understand the importance of Trump and his administration deporting millions of illegals. And if that means arresting California officials to get that done, then, well, that has to happen. Otherwise, we have no future and we've lost our republic. So Trump isn't just fighting for, you know, his administration. He's fighting for the future of America right now in this. And I understand some of you probably think this is all just theater. It's just a cover story to roll out Palantir and to roll out, you know, a police state, to roll out a dictatorship, whatever. I get it. There's a lot of theories out there. What I would say is be prepared for every possibility, because I don't have a crystal ball either. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, obviously. Be prepared for every possibility. So be prepared for disruptions in logistics, disruptions in deliveries, including food and fuel, obviously disruptions in the power supply, the power grid. You know, power substations can be taken out easily. I talked about this yesterday. We talked about the weapons that have already been pre-positioned in the United States to be used by these radical leftists, and how those weapons include RPGs, mortars, a few surface-to-air missiles to take down aircraft, as well as anti-personnel landmines and ballistic vests and full auto drop-in triggers for AKs and ARs, thermal and night vision systems, etc. All of that is staged. Oh, also, police uniforms, too. That's another thing that's been staged. And if you don't believe me on this, well, whatever. You know, you're just not informed then. But Customs and Border Protection have intercepted many of these items being shipped into the United States over the last several years, including illegal suppressors, too. So when the activation signal is given for all these current occupying enemy forces that are answering to foreign nations that are enemies of America, they are going to go to their pre-designated storage areas. They're going to roll up the storage door, and they're going to have access to all that stuff I just said. you know, night vision, thermal vision, full auto, suppressors, you know, ballistic vests, anti-personnel landmines, everything I mentioned. RPGs, they're going to have all that stuff in their hands, and then they're going to go to war with the Trump administration, and they're going to go to war against maybe the patriots in California who want to stay part of America, you see. So this could get really crazy very quickly. And it always reminds me, this kind of thing reminds me of the book series by, I believe, Glenn Tate called 299 Days. The book was set actually in the Pacific Northwest, but what that book series describes, and I think it's 10 books, it's a very good series, although it starts out kind of slow. But what it describes is almost exactly what I'm describing could be a scenario to unfold in California, where the radical left just goes insane and is essentially trying to overthrow the Constitution and overthrow the Bill of Rights. But there are groups of patriots that are fighting for freedom and fighting against the radical left-wing governments of, you know, the Pacific Northwest in that book series. But we could see this with California. Now, one thing you may not know is that Governor Newsom, I did cover this a few years ago. Do you recall when Governor Newsom sent $1 billion to a Chinese electric car company for the purchase of N95 masks? This was during the COVID years. I don't recall which year, but it would be easy to look that up. But does that ring a bell to any of you listening? So $1 billion was sent to China, and then nobody ever heard about it ever again. The masks never showed up, and any reporter that dared to ask a question about it was shut down and disinvited from future press events. So that $1 billion, my sources said, that $1 billion got laundered. You know, the majority of it came back to California, laundered through various means, probably involving crypto and cash and maybe gold, who knows what. And that money went into a massive slush fund controlled by the governor in order to not just pay off, you know, bribes and kickbacks to the other officials and corrupt judges, etc., but also that a lot of that money went to purchase ammunition, rifles, and gold, which are stored in the underground levels. Like, there's one level in particular that's not accessible under, I believe, the state capitol building or a parking structure that serves that building. I don't have the exact address anymore, but I remember covering this a few years ago. So Governor Newsom has a large stack of weapons and ammo and gold that he may invoke during some kind of, you know, secession announcement, if it comes to that. Don't think that Governor Newsom is powerless. He's part of a family that is a vicious, powerful, sinister criminal cabal, like racketeering mafia galore. That's who these people are. And yes, they have massive underground, effectively bunker storage of full auto rifles, of gold and food and ammunition, you know, emergency equipment. Yeah, they've planned for this too, because they know where this is going. They know that eventually, if this family or these multiple families, if they are to stay in power in California, they know eventually they're going to have to go to war with the United States of America if there's a Republican in the White House. And they've known that for a very long time. So they've prepared for that. Meanwhile, you know, of course, they keep their own people in the dark, but half of California's budget is, you know, giant money laundering slush fund, all kinds of fraud. All kinds of money just vanishes every year, and it ends up under the control of these corrupt families. And they are planning an insurrection against the United States. They've been planning it for a very long time. They've been stockpiling weapons in order to achieve that. And they've been allowing the illegal immigration and the weapons trafficking that supports that effort. So these are not innocent people. When you look at, you know, Maxine Waters, of course she stole her House seat over and over again. You know, you look at Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. She's a straight up Marxist, communist, you know, an America hater, a flag burner. That's the kind of person she is. You look at Newsom, you know, the leader of a criminal mafia that has been in power long before he came along. These are straight up mafia criminals that are running the state of California. And they are planning, in my opinion, in my analysis, they are planning to wage war against the federal government. And you hear it in their speech now. They're calling the government terrorists, which is funny because I called the government terrorists under the Biden administration. And when I did, of course, they would say, oh, you're an anti-government, you know, extremist or conspiracy nut or whatever. Well, now Democrats are using the same terminology and the media supports them when they say it. Oh, yeah, the government is a bunch of terrorists now, you know, but they didn't say that under Biden or under Obama. They only say it under Trump when Trump is actually enforcing the law. So apparently it makes you a terrorist to support immigration law because the Democrats think that the law doesn't apply to them and that they can just announce that they're immune to all federal laws and they can do whatever they want, including stealing elections routinely and engaging in money laundering and fraud and paying off the judges and paying off the mayors and paying off the police chiefs and just, you know, buying the media, etc. They think they can do whatever they want without any repercussions. And for the first time, probably in our lifetimes, the Democrats in California are colliding with a FAFO moment, F-A-F-O. And of course, F-A-F-O means fart around and find out. And right now they are farting around. Of course, officially, it's not fart, but I'm just going to keep it clean, relatively clean for now. So FAFO is in full effect, the FAFO effect. Maybe I should do a song with that title. That would be fun. The FAFO effect has arrived. It's almost a tongue twister. Anyway, the bottom line in all of this is we're all going to be affected by this. Remember that the LA ports also provide supply chain logistics for the entire country. And if California seizes the ports, well then, Trump will have to deploy United States Marines to take back the ports. And then we're going to get into a real, just full-blown live-action shooting on the streets of Los Angeles. You know, we're going to have a full-blown war on our hands in America. And unless Trump backs down, this is exactly where it's going. And understand, probably this is where it needs to go because Trump has to hold his ground or we lose our country. So again, I'm on the side, this is just my opinion, but I'm on the side in this case of the Trump administration doing everything that it must do that is legally justifiable. And, you know, use of force that is reasonable given the threats and the situation to take our country back, yes, to liberate Los Angeles and to deport millions of illegals and arrest and incarcerate the criminal cabal of political leaders in California who have been complicit in the invasion and attempted overthrow of the United States of America. I fully support that. I don't support everything that Trump is doing, just to be clear, but I absolutely support what I just described, and it probably has to come to that. Now, if it does, obviously, there will be ramifications. You know, gold and silver will probably skyrocket. Ammo sales will skyrocket. You'll have ammo shortages. You'll have firearm shortages, etc. You're going to have supply chain chaos because of the LA port situation that I mentioned and all the transport trucks that move through California. They will suffer disruptions, obviously. You're going to have just insane levels of chaos, and at least locally in that area. But LA is a big city. And from that, then you may see nations like China looking at the U.S. and saying, hey, the U.S. military is actually sort of pinned down in LA, so we're going to attack Taiwan now or something like that. It's not far-fetched to imagine that sort of scenario taking place. So if Trump does go all the way with this in order to help give the American people back their country, then he needs to do so as quickly as possible so that other nations, which would include, let's say, America's strategic enemies or competitors, China, Russia, Iran, so we don't want to give those other countries too much time thinking that America is weak and vulnerable and that the Pentagon is too occupied. Like, you don't want a Vietnam in Los Angeles that drags out for years. No, I mean, you do not want that, obviously. You want something that is over and done with in a matter of a couple of weeks. But you know what my friend Michael Yon says about war? All wars grow. All wars grow unpredictably. And all wars take longer than you think to conclude. So it's probably unreasonable to think that this could even be done in a couple of weeks, even with the military. It would probably be a multi-year operation, is what I would imagine. I mean, think about just how do you find and deport 4 million illegals and investigate and arrest and prosecute all the officials who were complicit in the human smuggling invasion operation? I mean, that's a massive effort. And I think that's why Trump doesn't want to be distracted by Ukraine and Russia. He wants a deal with Russia to just shut that down and get out of there and not have to spend time on it. I also think Trump doesn't want to bomb Iran. Obviously, Israel is pushing him to do that. But Trump, in my view, Trump wants to just, you know, tell the neocons or the Zionists to go pound sand for a moment. We got to focus domestically. We got to take our country back, or we'll be blown out in the midterm elections and the next presidential election. And if that happens, then America's done, because the Democrats will just go on a total destruction policy. I mean, they'll just set the nation on fire on purpose. I mean, they've tried to do that before with things like George Floyd, but they'll go all out. So we can't let Democrats come back into power, which means we have to give this country back to the American people. And the success of the Trump administration, I think, will hinge on this very point right here. And one other comment, by the way, kind of a balancing comment on this. As much as we're seeing all these leftists waving the Mexican flag in California and answering, you know, or prioritizing Mexico over the United States, there's another group of people in this country that's waving another country's flag because they have it posted and emblazoned on all their doors and walls in the halls of Congress. And that's the Zionist supporters who answer to Israel first rather than America first. And I'm pointing this out because there are groups on the left and groups on the right that answer to other countries. And that's not okay. This is a time we have to put America first. I don't care what Israel wants Trump to do. Trump needs to focus on deporting millions of illegals and taking our country back. I don't care what Ukraine wants Trump to do. We've got to take our country back, or all of it is irrelevant in the long run. So this action in LA, this is the most important thing, in my view, that Trump needs to focus on. And I think Stephen Miller, for example, understands this very point. This is crucial. I think Steve Bannon understands this point. I think, you know, Noam and Bongino and Patel, I think all these people get it. And even Pete Hegseth, who I haven't always had wonderful things to say about Pete Hegseth, but I mean, this is going to put his feet to the fire right here, and we're going to find out what Pete Hegseth is made of. That's for sure. So he's going to have to gain all kinds of wisdom very quickly, which is challenging, but we'll see. You know, maybe he's up for it. We will see. But I tell you what, when it comes time to make the decision for Trump, do we back down because the press is saying that we're mean? No, you do not back down. You enforce the rule of law, whatever it takes, but only advancing with reasonable justification or reasonable force where necessary. but you have to exercise restraint. You actually have to take a beating first as you are doing this, because the left has set a trap. They want Trump to walk into it and to get aggressive and start shooting people and have like a Kent State massacre. And then that would cause a massive media uproar. That's exactly what the left is looking for. And Trump has to make sure that that doesn't happen. So today, my prayers are with, of course, all human beings. I want all human beings to live with security and with freedom, and freedom first, actually. But also, we have civil rights as Americans. We have the right to our own country, to take our country back. So we must enforce the rule of law, and we have to get the illegals out of the country. So I'm also praying for the soldiers and for the federal officers and law enforcement, whoever is putting their bodies on the line right now to attempt to de-escalate and stop this massive left-wing uprising that is a threat to the existence of our nation. Of course, I pray for peace, but I also pray that we get our country back, and not everybody is going to be happy about that. You know, the Democrats are going to be sobbing, you know, crying endlessly. So be it. They created this problem. We have to reverse their theft of our elections, and this is the way it gets done. Not everybody's going to be happy about it, but in the end, this serves the interests of the American people, and it has to be America first. So get ready for all kinds of possibilities here. Of course, check out the backup communications capabilities of our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, sat123.com. They also have backup power generators, solar generators. They've got Faraday bags. They've got a lot of equipment and gear, not just sat phones, but text messaging devices that work via satellite. And if the power grid gets attacked, you're going to need backup comms. So sat123.com. Of course, you can get backup food supplies and other supplies, such as my custom knife called Escape from LA, which I named years ago. That's available at our store, healthrangerstore.com. And then we've got our affiliate partners listed at rangerdeals.com, who offer, where legal, they offer high-end firearms, ballistic vests, chlorine dioxide for emergency use, you know, all kinds of things that you may find extremely handy for survival and preparedness, and even community preparedness, because we're going to have to protect our communities. As this radical left-wing uprising takes shape, you know, they're going to try to march across many areas. They're going to try to seize territory and overthrow the United States government. At least that's what it looks like they're headed for. So wherever you are, you may have to be part of a defense of your community. That's what you bought that 50 cal Barrett for, remember? So pull it out, dust it off, lube it, you know, get it ready. Count your rounds of ammo. You may have to work with local law enforcement, with your local sheriff's deputies, or with your guard units, actually, in your state, to defend your community against an invading horde of enemy combatants and terrorists who are blowing things up along the way. So just be psychologically ready for that. Be fully prepared. Don't be surprised if it happens, but pray that it doesn't happen. Let's pray for peace and pray for de-escalation, but be prepared for the worst-case scenario. All right, that's my take on the situation. Now, I'll have something else for you here, either a book video or maybe another special report, but I'll post that separately, so stay tuned. Welcome to this special report on the LA insurrection as it's ongoing. This is Mike Adams. I'm recording this around midnight on Sunday night, just switching over to June 9th, Monday. Colonel Douglas McGregor tweeted out, quote, President Trump is calling the rebellion against the Republic in LA an insurrection. He is correct. The Constitution made no distinction between the rights of American citizens and foreigner lawbreakers on American soil. It's time to recognize that the Constitution, as written, is antithetical to the interests of the American people, he says. Invoke the Insurrection Act and remove the foreign lawbreakers from American soil. They have no right, to break our laws and remain on American soil. And he was responding to a post by another user on Twitter named Michael Jaco, former Navy SEAL. I don't know this person, but Michael Jaco, and his handle is Michael Jaco 9, the digit 9. He says, sleeper cell activation in the 17 cities we have been warning will be destroyed in America. Okay, trying to parse the grammar on that one. I'm not sure what he's saying. Will the sleeper cells be destroyed in 17 cities, or what? Or the 17 cities will be destroyed? Clarify, Mr. Jaco, please clarify. Okay, now this special report here that I'm recording is about the risk of false flags, and how in a previous report I talked about the benefits of this. If it's theater, the benefits to the Democrats on the left, and then theoretical possible benefits to Trump on the right for rolling out more of a, you know, police state crackdown, surveillance state, that kind of thing. I'm not accusing Trump of that. I'm just saying these are the possibilities that are sort of being considered right now. But another major consideration is false flags. Now, this kind of situation in LA is really ripe for false flags, which is why I wanted to do a separate report on this. So let's look at false flag motivations on the left and then false flag motivations on the right. And actually, let me start with the right first. What would be a theoretical motivation for a false flag attack that, again, this is only theoretical. I'm not accusing the Trump administration of doing any of this, but suppose a false flag attack involved a mass bombing of like federal agents or ICE agents or something. And that could happen. Maybe it's not a false flag. Maybe it's just radical leftists going full-blown terrorism. But if there were a false flag that achieved that, you know, evil, bloody goal, what would be the purpose of carrying that out? And of course, at this point, this is all about narrative control. So the purpose of that, if it were to be carried out by the government itself, let's say, the purpose would be to gain the support of the American people as the government really ramps up the war against the leaders of Los Angeles and California. And that war, that takedown of the criminal cabal of Democrats that run California, I believe that takedown is necessary anyway to defend the nation against all the election fraud, the voter fraud, the trafficking. The criminal cartel that runs California has to be dismantled. So you could see a potential scenario where government might carry out, I mean, even look, the FBI is they have tons of experience at carrying out false flags. You know, there's probably all kinds of teams that are volunteering. Yeah, we'll do it. You know, they could be dispatched and carry out a false flag that injures or kills some government agents or maybe some California guardsmen or something. And then they could theoretically, again, they could use that as a justification for massive escalation. Okay, so that's one side of the what if question here. Now let's go to the Democrat side. If the Democrats were to carry out false flag operations, they would kill their own protesters to blame it on Trump. So they would try to stage something where they could catch it on camera, where it looks like, you know, U.S. troops or guardsmen, guardswomen, or whatever, ICE officers were like carrying out a deadly massacre against innocent, you know, totally innocent Hispanic teenage boys and girls. They were just killed in the streets like animals or whatever. You know, you can imagine how they would portray this. So if they carry out a false flag, that's to also control the narrative. That's to gain sympathy and to paint the Trump administration as evil and dictatorial, you know, overbearing, etc. So both sides of this involvement here have at least some motive. I'm not saying they would, but there is a motive for carrying out a false flag operation. But there's an even bigger motive at the globalist level. Now, remember that most of the politicians in California answer to globalists. So Newsom is a total globalist puppet. And so is Mayor Bass of L.A. She's also a communist, is a straight up commie. But they take orders from globalists that want to see America destroyed. And the globalists also have another goal, which is, of course, depopulation of humanity and destabilization of the United States. Well, if they can foment an exploding war that goes regional, that starts to involve not just the entire state of California, but also, you know, Arizona and Nevada and maybe Oregon or even larger, then they could really achieve some of their bigger goals. They could cause the deaths of millions of Americans if this is a full-blown war. And they could use, you know, nuclear weapons, even like briefcase nukes or other terrorist weapons to carry out massive attacks. I mean, you could see like terrorism sabotage of the water supply to Phoenix, or the water supply to Los Angeles, for that matter, or terrorism attacks on bridges and railways and especially ports and other key areas that are pivotal for the proper functioning of the U.S. economy and logistics and food deliveries and you know, electricity supply, things like that. So globalists want America to be in a war. They do. And it was clear since Obama, when Obama was trying to start a race war in America, that was obvious. And we're lucky we didn't end up in a runaway race war. And then, of course, under Trump's first administration, BLM was trying to start another race war uprising. And it's very clear that those were paid agitators, just like many of today's protesters in LA are clearly paid agitators. So who's funding this? Probably the globalists, maybe in conjunction with Newsom and the other leaders of California. They are funding this, and they may have different goals. The Democrats just want to stay in power, while the globalists want to achieve depopulation. And those goals may not be perfectly aligned, but they share a common goal, those two groups do, of wanting to destroy Trump and take down America and end the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Because they want globalist, dictatorial, Democrat control from here forward. They don't want an independent outsider like Trump to ever have even a chance at winning an election ever again. The Democrats want to completely crack down on freedom of speech. They want to run an authoritarian regime, just like they treated the J6 peaceful protesters, where even though you were peaceful, they would round you up and charge you with terrorism and throw you in a jail cell for years. That's what they want to do to every Trump supporter in America. That's what they want to do to anybody who believes in liberty, anybody who dares to tell the truth, anybody who's part of independent media, etc. That's what Democrats want. And if the globalists can help them achieve that goal by waging this war and turning their own cities in California into a battleground, the Democrats don't care. They don't care if their cities burn, as long as they gain power and can control the country. And they are right now scrapping their way back into power by any means necessary, even if it means setting their own cities on fire, or maybe setting off a false flag and killing their own protesters in order to blame Trump. So watch out for false flags. On any side, look, there are multiple factions involved here, and even the Trump administration is not, obviously not a monolithic power. There are disagreements within the agencies. You know, Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, they're not really running the entire FBI. I mean, they're attempting to assert their authority, but they're still, you know, the newbies there. There are longstanding departments inside the FBI, but especially the CIA, that don't answer to anybody. They don't answer to anybody. It's super top secret. You know, even in the State Department, there are groups in the State Department that don't answer to anybody. They're doing their own thing, and their goals may actually contradict the goals of Trump. So I could see there could be some rogue group within an agency in the federal government that carries out a false flag for their own reasons, something that Trump's not even aware of, that he would be horrified to even learn about, for example. So don't think that the Trump administration is all monolithic. And the same thing with California government. There are different factions in California government, and there may be people who want to see Newsom forced to resign, right? So if those people could engineer a situation where Newsom is shamed and Newsom makes a massive mistake and then Newsom is exposed and forced to resign, maybe that could create an opportunity for this other group to gain power in the governorship, you see. Now, by the way, those 17 cities that Michael Jayko was naming, here they are. New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Houston, Nashville, New Orleans, Charlotte, San Francisco, Detroit, Seattle, Atlanta, Las Vegas, Baltimore, Boston, and Miami. 17 cities. In Texas, there's been some activity in San Antonio, some radical left-wing activity, but it's not that large. And of course, Austin is a cesspool of radical leftism, so we may see some interesting action there. I don't know. I mean, I pray we don't. But as you know, I've said for many years to get out of the cities for a variety of reasons, specifically mentioning that these cities are structured as death traps. Los Angeles is clearly the worst city to be in for a number of reasons. First of all, you can't evacuate to the west because that's the ocean. And if you go east, you very quickly start to hit, you know, desert. So it's hard to walk out of there, or, you know, very dry, arid areas. Also, the entire water supply is imported, and that requires a lot of power to pump the water into L.A. The traffic venues are not capable of handling anything resembling a mass evacuation. That would just be a scene of cars stalled out all over the highways. And it's a city where the police typically do not assert the rule of law. And so it's kind of it's a wild west of anything goes. It's not a safe place to be. So very quickly, if the power grid goes down, then LA will turn into a giant death region. I don't know what you call it, death trap. And people will begin to run out of water, food, emergency medicine very quickly. You know, the sewers would stop working without electricity. I mean, because of all the pump stations, obviously the water would run out, refrigeration, all the retail stores would stop functioning. They would all be looted in almost no time, etc. So if you are in LA right now, then, you know, you probably want to have a bug out plan and a bug out gear, bug out vehicle. And the thing is, you want to leave before the emergency. So if there's going to be a false flag where somebody crazy sets off a nuke or a dirty bomb, you know, God forbid, then you want to be out of the city. And do you remember the TV series called 24 starring Kiefer Sutherland? And he was also, I think, a co-executive producer of the series. I think it ran 9 or 10 seasons. And I actually had a DVD collection of the 24 series. So just out of fascination, I decided to plug it in like a week ago and started watching it. And I got to say, it's the best TV. I mean, there's nothing as good as 24 in the last decade. Like 24, even though there's a somewhat liberal slant on the show, it has the best writers, the best screenplay, the best action, the best pacing, far better than anything that I've seen in the last decade. And since 24 originally came out, I think in 2002, it wasn't woke. So you didn't have all these LGBT themes. You didn't have the mandatory scene of two lesbians making out or two dudes kissing, bearded dudes or whatever. You didn't have any wokeism. Well, season 2 of 24 was all about the NSA allowing a nuclear weapon to be smuggled into the United States, which ended up in Los Angeles. It ended up in Los Angeles, and there was a SEAL team that was supposed to keep tabs on this bomb, and they were going to stop the terrorists at the very last minute and then, you know, capture the bad guys. But the SEAL team got wiped out, and then the bomb, there was this mad scramble to find the bomb. And then towards the end of the season, sorry if this is a spoiler alert, I doubt any of you are going to watch 24 season 2 anyway, because it's over 20 years old. But again, still the best TV since then, probably. But ultimately, at the end of the season, they had to put the nuke on a Cessna and fly it out to the desert and let it detonate out there because they couldn't stop the bomb. So the detonation actually took place, but it didn't happen in Los Angeles. But 24 is turning out to be rather prophetic because season one was about assassination attempts of a presidential candidate. David Palmer is the name of the character, who was slated to be the first black president of the United States, and there were all these attempts to kill him. And season two is about this nuke that was supposed to detonate in Los Angeles. And then season three is about a virus pandemic assault on America. They're trying to chase down and find this virus before it gets released and weaponized onto the American people. I'm like, wow, three seasons, all three things really ring true with what's happening in our world right now, over 20 years later. And in that series, they were even talking about the bomb's yield and the death estimates from a detonation. And I recall one of the scenes where they said there could be up to 1 million people killed by a nuclear detonation in LA. And that's both immediate and longer term deaths from all the radioactive fallout and the cancers, you know, etc. But they're talking about 1 million people. And the reason I even bring this up is because we are reaching a point of desperation in history where the parties involved here, like the Democrats who are losing everything, and then, you know, the Trump administration, which for its own survival, it has to achieve these key goals of bringing America back to something resembling a constitutional republic. The stakes are so high that I wouldn't be surprised if there is some faction somewhere in this whole picture. You know, it wouldn't be Trump or his people, but there might be a faction inside the FBI or inside the CIA or inside whatever department, or there might be a faction on the Democrats' side that is willing to detonate a nuclear weapon if they think it's going to further their narrative and ultimately result in them winning, you know, fifth generation warfare, which is all about narrative control. So don't put it past these people to deliberately use a nuke if it gets them what they want. That is very much a possibility. But a nuclear weapon is a difficult thing to smuggle and carry around and transport and then detonate. So a far easier, more low-tech and more likely scenario is a dirty bomb detonation. Of course, a dirty bomb is a kinetic bomb surrounded by just radioactive material, like the kind of isotopes that you might use in medical imaging equipment, like isotopes of strontium, for example. And a dirty bomb doesn't really cause a lot of immediate casualties, but what it does, because of the fallout, it renders the area unsafe for habitation, potentially for many years to come. So it causes an environmental contamination issue that can dramatically interfere with economic operations if, for example, if a dirty bomb were to be set off in one of California's shipping ports. So it could render that port, you know, completely unusable for an extended period of time, months or something. So that's a kind of economic sabotage attack using a low-tech dirty bomb weapon, probably carried by a suicide bomber who'd be willing to give his life in order to try to disrupt America's economy, for example. You know, and the kind of person who would do that would have to be a radical hater of America. And who would that be? Well, I can only think of like two possibilities. Either maybe some radical Islamic extremist who sees America's role in providing bombs and weapons to Israel and the genocide against Gaza, etc. So it could be somebody from the Middle East, or it would be somebody in this California illegal community or migrant community, as they call it, that hates America, is waving the Mexican flag and wants to see America suffer. That kind of person is capable of a suicide bombing attack. And if they have access to those things, and we know that some of these things have already been staged in various storage locations across the United States, including in California, including Arizona in particular, and no doubt in Nevada, then it's an unreasonably high risk that this could happen. And perhaps this is what Michael Jayko is talking about here. Now I'm remembering I've seen some videos of his before, but I think what he's talking about is that these occupying sabotage teams that I've talked about, that Michael Yon has warned about, that Matt Bracken has talked about, etc. These sabotage teams have been waiting for orders, and they may be getting activated right now. And if so, then you're going to start seeing attacks in other cities. This will spread then beyond Los Angeles. And that's why I read that list of those 17 cities. So again, you know, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, etc. So I can't tell you that it's evacuation time if you happen to be in any of those cities. I'm not trying to scaremonger anybody here. However, consider this. If you're in Houston or Charlotte or Atlanta or wherever, or if you're close, think about the possibility of how this can escalate and watch very carefully and decide for yourself in advance what series of events will cause you to leave. And it's good to decide that in advance. Like if I see a dirty bomb go off in any city, I'm leaving this city. Okay. Like have a marker in advance so that if that marker gets triggered, you're like, we're out of here. The risk is too high. Or maybe that's not your marker. Maybe the marker is, you know, if the National Guard is deployed to my city. Well, at that point, it might be too late. They might block the highways and then you can't get out of the city. They could actually quarantine the entire city. That might happen to LA for all we know. So you got to be ahead of the crowd if you have an exit plan. And if you're in the suburbs already, maybe it's not a big deal. And of course, if you live out in the country somewhere, you're already well positioned against whatever is coming, because this violence from the radical left, this is going to be focused, obviously, in the cities. The cities will become the war zones. And you either need to leave or prepare to face a risk of a very high risk of death or injury if you stay in those war zones. So what am I doing during all of this? Well, I'm just double checking all my preparedness equipment. I do need to try out these new suppressors that I got a few months ago, and I haven't had time to mess with them. I'll check all my optics and whatever. But look, I'm in Texas. I don't feel any fear of radical leftists getting very far in Texas. And Texas law enforcement is very effective, and they're not going to put up with the nonsense that the LAPD puts up with, that's for sure. So I'm in a very good location for whatever this is. But you may not be in such a great location, so double check your situation. Be wise about it. Don't overreact out of fear, of course, but just have a mature view about what is happening on the ground and where this is likely going. It's getting pretty crazy. All right, now, of course, I'll keep you posted, and you can always help support us by shopping at healthrangerstore.com, where we have not only survival food supplies, all certified organic, laboratory tested, long-term storable foods, freeze-dried fruits, things that are hard to find, that are highly nutritious, and that are probably missing from your food supply. We've also got colloidal silver first aid gel made with Texas rainwater. That's actually my own formulation. We have a lot of other products for your survival. and preparedness. So check out healthrangerstore.com and be ready for anything that might come our way. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, Health Ranger. God bless all of you. God bless America. Take care.
All right, so let me explain what I believe is happening and why they want you in a civil war. So in the next couple weeks, these are being planned right now, very well funded, very well organized. At a city near you, we're going to have a riot. It's not just protest, full-on riots. And if you watch this video, what's happening? Why aren't the police doing anything? Why aren't they stopping and arresting these people? Well, most of these agencies where these riots are happening are liberal-led agencies. They are, in my belief, telling them to stand down. Why? Why are they dropping off bricks? Everywhere across America, they're dropping off these pallets of bricks. Why? Because they want to get violent and the police won't do anything. So then what? Patriots like you and I, it'll make us want to go in and fight. Don't do it. It is a trap. Trying to suck us in so that all the patriots are going to go and then we're going to marching right into their trap for the civil war that they want. So what's the answer as hell breaks loose and violence ensues throughout these cities? Are we going to go save their cities? They're already gone. So get a food storage, get right with God, get out of major cities when it starts getting bad. Do not fight with these people. That's exactly what they want. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. I promise you.
The super volcano Mount Etna is erupting again. So far, the eruption has been rather small, although still impressive, pushing clouds up to 4 kilometers skyward. But if it actually experiences a full eruption, then it would eject so much particulate matter into the atmosphere that it would block sunlight around the entire world for a year or even longer. I don't mean 100% of sunlight, but it would diminish enough light to cause crop failures all over the world. It would shorten growing seasons by effectively lowering temperatures everywhere that crops are grown. So the food supply that normally feeds the world would suffer a catastrophic collapse. And this has happened before. I forgot the year, it was like 1817, Tamburo, and it caused what was called the year without a summer in the UK. So far away, halfway across the world, a year without a summer, and crops failed all over the world back then. Well, at that time, the population was a small fraction of the current population of the world. So if this eruption gets worse, we're in a dire situation. Well, we want to help support you and offer you solutions to help you get ready for this. You obviously need to have a food supply. We've got that available right now, laboratory tested, certified organic, at healthrangerstore.com. We've got right now the Ranger Buckets, 536 servings, certified organic, emergency storable food supply in rugged polyethylene buckets. And then inside the bucket, each food item is packed in what we call a brick. It's a compressed, vacuumed, extra thick container that makes it kind of like a thin brick shape, which also has additional long-term storage capabilities. So these things, this is why we could ship these to North Carolina as we did last year. We can ship them there, but we're not afraid of rain. Even if it rains on these, it doesn't destroy the food inside. There's no cardboard, there's nothing to get soggy, and it's also essentially rodent-proof, except for maybe bears. If you have a bear problem, you know, you've got bigger issues. But for most rodents, they can't get into these buckets at all. So very handy there. Now, we're also on the verge of a potential nuclear conflict with Russia right now as the situation heats up with Ukraine. Ukraine's kind of stuck in the middle, but the NATO leaders want war. and some of the crazy, insane, warmongering neocons in the U.S. government, they want war too. They want war with Russia. They want war with Iran. They always seem to want war, you know, because the right people profit from it. Well, we don't want war, but we want you to be ready if there is a war. So I've got samples on my desk here. We've got nascent iodine right there at the bottom in the bottles available. And we have Iosat, which is the FDA approved potassium iodide supplements. If there's any kind of a fallout scenario, nuclear terrorism, nuclear war, you name it, you definitely want to have a good supply of iodine to protect your thyroid. If you lose your thyroid from typically, you know, radioisotopes of cesium, such as cesium-137 or iodine-131 would be the one that goes right to the thyroid. But I mean, I mentioned cesium because that is more of a systemic impact on the body, very toxic with a half-life of 29 years in that case. Radioactive iodine only has a half-life of about 7 days, but if you don't have iodine protection for your thyroid, then your thyroid gets destroyed. And then without your thyroid, your life is miserable because nothing works. You don't have energy. You can't sleep right. You know, without your thyroid, your body is a wreck. So protect your thyroid with iodine. This can also be used in moderate amounts as a daily iodine supplement. And I'm not saying take the dropper or drink the bottle. No, that would not be recommended. It's like a drop or two. Read the label. It's a very tiny amount of iodine that you need each day. I mean, it's actually in micrograms. So you don't have to overdo the iodine, but it is good to have the right amount in your body and not have an iodine deficiency. We've got iodine and Iosat available at healthrangerstore.com. Go there right now. Here on the homepage, you can see everything that we've got available. Some of the different featured products, including right now Hawaiian astaxanthin and many other products as well. We've got lots, you know, a new batch of turmeric also, which is incredibly beneficial in so many ways. So check it all out, healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.